Okay, so we are doing Daf Tet Vav this week, and like I just said, we are on still on Yud Dalet Amud Beis, about 15-20 lines up, in the middle of the line where it says Uvesheilat Shalom by the two dots. So where we're picking up from right now is we are picking up from the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that after you had the series of fasts, you had the first three, the second three, and the last seven, none of them worked. And so what are you going to do since none of them worked? Well, you have to do a series of trials and tribulations that will hopefully bring God to want to answer your prayers so that rain will be brought. One of those things that you cannot do, one of the prohibitions that are upon the people at that time is uvesheilat shalom. You cannot greet your friends. You should not return greetings to your friends. Very similar thing of Tisha B'Av. It's the exact same idea. You can't greet people. Okay, so let's see what the Gemara has to say now. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a braisa, chavirim ein sheilat shalom. Whenever the Gemara says the word chavirim, chavirim is like a code where literally it means friends, but chavirim actually means, in this context, like Torah scholars, or like people who are, you know, they keep the mitzvos, people who we trust that they're keeping all the mitzvos. So whenever you have two chavirim with one another, you have one Torah scholar and another Torah scholar, two committed Jews, they are not going to be greeting each other. They should not greet each other. They will not greet each other. Amei ha'aretz sheshoalin. So let's say you have an Amaretz. An Amaretz is someone who we generally assume is not either familiar or doesn't keep all the mitzvos, whatever it is, they're not going to be too careful about asking how you're doing on these days following the failure of the failure of your fast to have Hashem answer you, right? One of these days that are more stringent. So they're going to forget all about this, or they're never going to know in the first place that there is this prohibition to stop asking how you're doing. And they're friendly people. So the Amaretz comes over to you and says, how are you doing? Shesholim. So they're going to ask how you're doing. Machzir and Lehem, you should answer them. Don't be like a total schlub to them, because they don't mean any bad by it, right? The same halacha, someone asks you how you're doing on Tisha B'Av, so you say something, you do something. So what do you do, says the Gemara, in this situation? So machzirim lahem b'safa rafa uvekoved rosh. You should respond to them in like a low tone and with a solemn manner. Say, oh yeah, I'm okay, you know, like something like that, instead of just saying, oh, I'm great, how are you? Okay, v'hine mis'atvin v'yoshvin ka'abilim v'chemenudin, right? And those people who are sitting during this time period, during these posts, all these fasts, so they have to sit on the floor, and they're going to wrap themselves up in like clothes or rags or whatever, and so they're going to look like a velim, those who are mourning, and they're going to look like menudin, those people who were excommunicated. They're going to look like people who were like pushed away from Hashem, and they're going to do all this until God will eventually hopefully bring mercy from the heaven, and he will bring the rain to them. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Ein Adam Chashuv Rashai Lipol Al Panav Ela Imkin Neenek Yoshua Bin Nun." So, from between now and the end of the parak, we forgot to mention this is a very exciting evening for another reason, because we're finishing the first parak of Tainus. How exciting is that? So, from now until the end of the Masechta, we're going to have a lot of interesting Agadata statements. So this first statement over here. So, Rabbi Elazar says that Ein Adam Chashuv Rashai Lipol Al Panav Ela Imkin Neenek Yoshua Bin Nun. An important individual is not allowed to fall on his face, meaning he can't like prostrate himself, and like that's not how we should be davening. He shouldn't be like getting on the floor or whatever he's going to do. Exactly, literally, lipol panav means like fall on his face. So you think of like most people have the imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu fell on his face so many times. So you can't fall on the floor and fall on your face when you're davening. When you know you're davening for some bad situation that you want Hashem to answer you so that it'll get better, you can't do that unless you know that you're going to be answered, like Yoshua ben Nun, meaning unless you know for sure, just like Yoshua ben Nun knew, I guess, for sure that he was going to be answered by God, so therefore he can cry out to God, so to an important individual who would look ridiculous if he was crying out to God and his prayers weren't answered, so you can't, if you're an important person, lie on the floor and say, God, please answer me, unless you know for sure that you're going to be answered, because otherwise you're going to end up looking ridiculous. Shenemar, v'yomar Hashem el Yoshua, Hashem said to Yoshua, kum lich, lama zeta nofa el panecha, God says to Yoshua, why are you, you know, get up, why are you on the floor, you know, lift up your face, because I'm going to answer your prayers, right? So just like God did that with Yoshua, so that's how a person should act. If you an important person who knows they're going to be answered, they could go down the floor, and then immediately, I guess, they will be answered. But if they don't know they'll be answered, then they should not go down on the floor. Okay, that's Rabbi Elazar, another statement of Rabbi Elazar. In Adam Chashuv Rashai Lach Gor Sak Ela Imkin Nenek Yehoram Benachab. An important person, again, When we say an important person, also in general, we mean like a Torah scholar or something like that, some big rabbi. So this important person, he should not gird himself. He should not like wrap himself up in sackcloth. Again, seemingly the same idea that you want Hashem to answer your prayer, so you show like you're like in mourning. You put yourself in sackcloth. So you shouldn't do that if you're an important individual. Unless you know that you're going to be answered like Yehoram ben Achav. Shneamar, what happened? Yehoram ben Achav had the following situation. So what happened? So we'll just translate the pasuk quickly. And it was when the king heard the woman's words that he tore his garments while he was passing on the wall, and the people saw and behold there was sack. There was like sackcloth on his flesh. So in other words, what happened was the Yehoram ben Achav heard who Yehoram ben Achav was not a good king. So it's a shock that he was answered in the first place. But nonetheless, he had the sackcloth on him, and he cried out to God because he had heard how bad the situation was, how bad the famine was, that people were eating other people's children, and it was a terrible situation. And so he was in such distress over this, so he cries out, or he tears his garment. And so this pasuk shows us that a person should not be doing this, certainly an abhorrent person should not be doing this, should not be tearing their garments, or should not be putting sackcloth on themselves, unless they know for sure that they're going to be answered. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, another statement of Rabbi Elazar, Lo hakol b'kriya, v'lo hakol b'nefila. Not everyone, when they daven, when they're crying out to God, you want to show God that you want to be answered, right? All these things are very interesting things in general, so things that, for the most part, we don't really do nowadays, right? It's true, we bow, and like, if depending on how firm you are, either you bow a lot or you bow a little during Shemona Esrei, right? And then on Tachanun, you know, we put our head down, and on the high holidays, we like bow down on the floor if we're able to. But for the most part, most people aren't tearing kriya, and most people aren't, like prostrating on a daily basis or regularly. So again, these are like sort of more extreme things that are not as common nowadays. But again, okay, these are part of the practices that a person would have, even if we don't have them in practice. We should certainly still try to keep the spirit, and that is that we should have passion and see the reality in our prayers, right? How amazing would it be if people would actually truly trust that God is totally and fully listening to every single prayer that you offer, and that if we had the belief that our prayers could just be a little bit stronger, who knows, maybe God would answer us. Right, that's a strong belief that a person can have, that we should all try to strengthen ourselves, and especially during these days. That isn't to say that that's obviously a larger theological question that we spoke about, I think, earlier this year in our Tefillah series, trying to understand why it is that God doesn't always answer the prayers, even if they're so meaningful and deep. But nonetheless, that is what this Gemara is getting to. These all these other practices that people had to do during their davening to show God how serious they were about this. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar says not everyone tears kriya, and not everyone prostrates themselves. In other words, different strokes for different folks. Some people did this, and some people did this. Moshe, Aaron, Benefila, Yoshua, Vakali, Vakriya. Right. So Moshe and Aaron, when they would daven, when they really wanted to get a point across to God, they would prostrate themselves. They would fall on the floor. And Yoshua and Kalev, when they would daven before Hashem, they would tear kriya and show God, please answer us. Moshe Aaron benefila. How do we know that Moshe Aaron, when they would daven before God, they would use the nefila, they would use the prostration on the floor tactic. Dichtiv ve'yipol Moshe Aaron opanim. Well, we know the pasuk says explicitly that Moshe Aaron fell on their faces. Yoshua v'kalev b'kriya. How do we know that Yoshua and Kalev tore kriya as their tactic? Dichtiv Yoshua ben Nun v'kalev ben Yifune karu b'gdeihem. It says that they tore their clothes. So clearly, it means that that's how they got God to convince them to answer their prayers. Maskefla Rabbi Zera v'itim Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So Rabbi Zera says, no, what are you talking about? Or some people say it's Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, what are you talking about? Ihava k'siv Yehoshua. If the pasuk that we just read, the word was v'Yehoshua. So says either Rabbi Zera or Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Ihava k'siv Yehoshua. If the pasuk would have said Yehoshua without a vav, k'deka amart, then it would be exactly like what you said, that Moshe fell and Aaron fell on their faces, and Yehoshua and Kalev, they tore their clothes. Hashta dechtiv v'Yehoshua. But now that the truth is that the pasuk didn't say Yehoshua, it said v'Yehoshua with a vav. Have ha'avid. It must mean that that the vav is connecting the two psukim. And what this therefore shows us is that Yehoshua and Kalev, they didn't just tear their clothes, but they also did what Moshe and Aaron did, and that is they fell on their faces as well. They did both things. So it's a little unclear exactly what this is all getting to, but it would seem like as Rabbi Elazar started this statement by saying some people tear kriya, some people fall on their our faces. But I guess what the point that Rabbi Zeir or Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani is making is that no, that's not true. Some people do only fall on their faces, and other people fall on their faces and tear kriya. But no one, I guess, the implication would be tears kriya just by themselves and without doing anything else. Okay, the Amar Rabbi Elazar lo hakol b'kima v'lo hakol b'shtachavia. So this is going to be an interesting one, a little bit unclear exactly what's going on over here, but the translation is that not everyone is going to greet Israel at the time of the Geula while standing, and not everyone's going to greet the Jewish people while they are like bowing over. So in other words, the point is that evidently during the times of the Geula, there's going to be different people who will greet the Jewish people differently. Whether this is talking about Jews or non-Jews, or this is talking about specifically certain kinds of Jews, it's a little unclear, but nonetheless, let's see what the Gemara has to say. So, Melachim b'kima, b'sarim b'shtachavia. The kings will greet the Jewish people by standing up straight, I guess, like as like a sense of like kavod for them standing up straight. You know, like you stand up when someone when an important person walks into a room. V'sarim b'shtachavia, and the officers or the nobles, they're going to greet them by bowing down. They're going to have such awe and reverence for them. Melachim b'kima. How do we know that the kings will stand up straight for them? D'chtiv ko amar Hashem goel Yisrael kedosho levazeh nefesh lemisav goy leevid moshlim melachim yir. Yiru v'kamu. So the pasuk basically is translated as follows: thus said Hashem, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the degraded soul, to the abused of nations, to those ruled by servants, kings shall witness your redemption and stand. So the kings are going to be standing. V'sarim. So it sounds like we're talking about kings of other nations, not the Jewish kings. V'sarim v'shtachavi, and the officers, or the nobles, they're going to greet the Jewish people by bowing. D'chtiv, and it says, Sarim, D'chtiv, Sarim v'yishtachavu, that it says, and then the officers, or the noble ones, it's an interesting grammatical situation over here, but basically it says, officers / nobles, comma, and prostrate themselves. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to bow down. Maskifla, Rabbi Zera, V'itema, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, the same person who just challenged the previous line is going to challenge this line. Either Rabbi Zera, or some people say it's Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Yihava ksiv v'sarim yishtachavu k'dekamart. Hashta dechtiv sarim v'yishtachavu havaha avod. So in other words, now, since if it would have said visarim yishtachavu, in other words, there is one vav. So where is that vav going to be placed? There's two words, and there's one vav at the beginning of one of those words. The way the pasuk reads is sarim v'yishtachavu. So says the Gemara, I have a ksiv visarim yishtachavu. If the vav would have been at the beginning of sarim and not at the beginning of yishtachavu, then kedekamar. Then it would be just like you say, that this proves that the officers or these noble individuals, that they're going to be bowing. But hashta tichtiv sarim yishtachavu. But now that the pasuk says specifically the vav is on the second word, it's sarim v'yishtachavu v'yishtachavu havaha avad. This shows that these noble ones are not going to greet the Jewish nation they're not going to greet the Jewish nation by just bowing. They're going to be doing both. They're going to be bowing and they're going to be standing. That's a little bit of a complicated thing also. Well, what are they doing? Are they bowing or are they standing? Right? So it sounds like they're going to be doing bowing for a little bit and then they'll be doing standing for a little bit. They're going to be doing both, not just one or the other. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Af Ani Omer Lo HaKol Liora. Loha kol liora, loha kol lesimcha, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, then not everyone is going to get light in the next world, and not everyone's going to get happiness in the next world. There are going to be different things for different people. So who's going to get light and who's going to get happiness? Tzadikim liora v'yisharim lesimcha. The righteous people are going to get light in the next world, and the yisharim, those who are like straight or upright, they're going to get simcha in the next world. How do we know this? Well, the famous pasuk, tzadikim liora dechtiv, or zarua la tzadik, the famous pasuk that we begin our Yom Kippur service from, right? Everyone thinks Yom Kippur starts with Kol Nidre. No, it really starts with Oraz Aruah La Tzadik. That's the first pasuk we say when we take out the Torahs. So again, Tzadikim Liora Duchtev Tzadik, the righteous people are going to merit light in the world to come, because it says Oraz Aruah La Tzadik, that light is sown for the righteous, Lisharm Simcha, and for the people who are upright, they're going to get happiness in the next world. Dichtiv, Lishrei Lev Simcha, and for the upright of heart, gladness. They're going to get happiness. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the first parak. Hajan Alach Me'ima. Say, wow, what an incredible accomplishment! We've been learning for over 15 weeks straight, and so we can officially say Hajan Alach Me'ima. Say, we shall return to you the first parak of Maseches Tainus, and now onwards and upwards onto the second parak of Maseches Tainus. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to do one very massive Mishnah. It's not very common. The Gemara likes to break up Mishnayos intensively so that we can offer lots of commentary. But what this Gemara is going to do is it's going to offer us a very large Mishnah, because there's like a lot of just back and forth text. And so we'll read through that, and basically we'll see by the time we get to the end of it. But most likely we'll probably just stop by the end of the Mishnah, which will be towards the bottom of the next of the other side of the page. Okay, so Tesvav Amar Alef Perek Sheni, the second parak of Maseches Tanis. Let's go. Seder Tanios Ketzad. What is the order for davening on fast days? So the Mishnah is not explicit about what this is talking about, but it's going to be clear, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, that this is specifically talking about for the last set of seven. That's when we're talking about doing this. And the truth is, since based on our daf last week, we'll know that there are a few key things here that will show us this is clearly only about the last seven fasts and not about the first two sets of three. But okay, so let's go in. So Seder Tanias Kesod, what is the order of davening? What's the Seder of davening for the fast days? Motzin es ateva lerechova shalir. So we take out the ark, right? The aron that holds the Sifrei Torah. We take it out to the streets of the city. Venostin afar makla al gabe ateva. And we take ashes. It's an interesting word. Afar makla. Why not just say afar? Right? Afar usually means like dust or dirt. So why do you say afar makla? Well, the reason why is because it's afar could have many different connotations in terms of Hebrew, what it might mean. In English, when we say ashes, usually that means, you know, like burned up things. But in Hebrew, it's not so clear, because it could mean lots of different things. So therefore, the Mishnah is explicit. You have to put afar makla, which is like burnt ashes, which means ashes, right? Ashes in English means something that came from like a burned whatever. So anyway, so v'nosen afar makla al gabei ateva. So you take these ashes, these burned things, and you place them on top of the teva, on top of the aron. Uverosh hanasi, uverosh avbeistin, and you also place ashes on the heads of the nasi and the avbeistin. V'chol echad ve'echad nosen berosho, and every other individual puts ashes on their own head. Hazakin shebehen omer lefnayan, the elder among them says before them, divrei kavushin, he says like words that are gonna be like to get you in the mood, to like make you feel like bad, and you know, subdue you in a sense. Achinu, he says, my brothers, my brothers, our brothers, lo ne'amar. Oh, sorry. Achenu lo ne'amar be'anshei Ninveh vayar Elokim es sakam es tanisam. Right. So he says, brothers, you know, when we came to the people of Ninveh, you remember the people of Ninveh, right? The people of Ninveh were the ones who became very famous because the prophet Yonah, he found them and he told them to repent, and they ended up repenting, and God did not punish them, right? Very famously, the people of Ninveh are told, I think, in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that the king of Ninveh was actually Paro from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. So anyway, so this elder says to the people in the city, Achenu lo ne'amar b'ashei Ninveh, it's not said of the men of Ninveh, or the people of Ninveh, Vayar Kim es sakam es tanisam. It's not said that God saw the sackcloths and fasting of the people. God doesn't care about that stuff. It's true, we do that stuff, but that's only meant to be a means to another end. Ella, what did God see? Vayar Elohim es maaseihem ki shavu midarkam hara. God saw their actions, that they returned from the bad ways. In other words, says this elder to the people, stop just doing the motions. Stop just going through and putting the ashes and the thing and the davening and the fasting and the blah. God doesn't want that garbage. It's only meaningful if you use that to motivate you to actually change and affect some sort of difference in your life. So therefore, change your actual ways, and then God will really turn to you and listen to you in prayer. Okay, so the Kabbalah, who Omer, and also in the Navi, it says, that the Pasuk says, tear your hearts and don't tear your souls. Stop tearing Kriya and saying, God, please hear my prayers. God doesn't want you to ruin your shirts. Okay, if you need to do that to get to the real end, which is the goal, and that is to make sure you're tearing your hearts out, that's what you really need to do. So God wants you to tear your hearts out and don't tear your clothes. Again, you can do the clothes to help you tear your heart out, but the ultimate goal is to tear your heart. Amdu b'tefillah. Then, when they would stand in tefillah, moridin lefnei ateva zakin v'ragil. So they would all say their silent shmona esrei, and then they were ready for the shliach tzibur, for the chazaras hashatz, for the repetition. So moridin lefnei ateva, they would bring moridin lefnei ateva zakin v'ragil. They would send down in front before the aron, before the guy was going to lead davening. Who would they send down? It was an older individual and someone who was like used to davening, so he knows what he's doing. V'yeshlo banemu beiso rei. Reikam Kadeshahe Libo Shalim Bitfila. And he has children, but he also has an empty home. He's an empty nester. Why do you need to have an empty nester? Because Kadeshahe Libo Shalim Bitfila, because we need his heart to be totally in Tfila. If he's like a young father, then he's gonna be thinking about kids. Maybe his 5-year-old will come nag him while he's davening. This guy needs to be totally focused on davening, but he also has to have children so that he could understand so that he needs to have children as well. For the purposes of this, but again, he needs to be an empty nester essentially. The Omer Lifnan Esrim the Arba Abrachos, and he would say before them in the repetition, he would say 24 blessings. Yud Ches Shavakol Yom, he would say the regular 18 of the regular Shmona Esrei. Again, this is seemingly in the world before they added the 19th blessing. We famously, obviously, call our Shmona Esrei Shmona Esrei, and that means 18 blessings, but we actually have 19 blessings in our Shmona Esrei. But back in the day, there was a time when there were 18 blessings, and this seems to be that time. So he would say the 18 of the regular Shmona Esrei prayer, Umos. But he would also add Aleh and Ocheish. He would add an extra 6. And now the Mishnah is going to go through what all of these 6 are. The Eluhin, and these are the 6 that he adds. You'll notice that the Mishnah ends up adding 7 and not 6. And so the answer is, why is it adding 7 and not 6? Well, that is because the first one is actually going to be an addition to one of the other brachos, and so it's an addition plus it's an addition to one bracha plus an extra 6 separate brachos. So these are the ones that he would add. Zichronos for Shofros. We know Zichronos and Shofros. We say the paragraph of Zichronos and Shofros, we say that on Rosh Hashanah. So we're familiar with those. So those are 2 of the 6 that he adds. And then now the Mishnah is going to list 4 more psukim, and each of these psukim are going to be representative of another passage that he says that will each have their own individual end blessing. So of the 4 psukim we're going to list now, that's going to be representative of one paragraph, and each of those paragraphs is going to have an end blessing, all of which we're going to list. So what is the first of the psukim we list. So El Hashem Bitsarta Li Karasi Vayanini. Right, to Hashem in my pain I cried out, and he answered me, or he should answer me. That's one. Es Aina El Haharim Al Haharim, I raised my eyes towards the mountains. That's the second one. Mima Makim Karasich Hashem, that from the depths I call out to God. I call to you, Hashem. Tefila Laani Kiyatov, that a prayer of the afflicted man when he swoons. So these are the 4 extra paragraphs that we say. So we have Zichronos, that's 1, Shofros, that's 2, and these 4 psukim, which represents 4 different paragraphs, 4 different passages that we say. Those are the 6 in total. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Hayat Sarich Lomar Zichronos V'Shofros, Ella Omer Tachtan. Rather, instead of saying, so Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we don't, it's a weird language. It says, Lo Hayat Sarich, he does not need to say. Well, what do you mean he does not need to say? Well, what does he say? Does he say this or does he say that? So it seems like that's what he's essentially saying. He doesn't say Zichronos and Shofros. Rather, what would he say? He says these 2 other passages in their as a replacement for them. Ra'av ki yiyeh ba'aretz davar dever ki yiyeh. So if there be a famine in the land, and if there be a plague in the land, and asher haya dever davar Hashem al Yirmiyahu al divrei Habitzaros, that the word of Hashem, which came to Yirmiyahu regarding the dangers, regarding the dangers. The Omer Chosman, and so when he says these passages, so he also has closing a chosim or a chasima of a blessing is like the end. Is like the end of the paragraph, or the end of the blessing. So we have the paragraph, and then the Baruch Atah Hashem, whatever, Gaal Yisrael, for example, that is the closing chasima. That's what we call the chasima. So the Omer Chosman, and he says the Chosman, he says the closing to it. So what are they? Al Rishonah Omer, for the first paragraph, he says is the closing, Misha Ana Es Avram Bahar Hamoriah, Hu Yaneh Eschem Yishma B'kol Tzakaschem Hayom Hazeh Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael. So these words sound very familiar. We from Slichos and other places, we know these words. So we'll just translate. He who answered Abraham on Mount Moriah, he should also answer you plural, and he should hear your cries, the voice of your cries on this day. Blessed are you, Hashem, who redeems Israel. So that's number one. So again, we listed the 6 blessings that are added. And then now we're going to give 7 closings. So this is the first one. But Goel Yisrael, we already know what Goel Yisrael is. That's already part of the Shemoneh Esrei. So that is just part of the addition that was added to one of the blessings. blessings. So that'll be one, the first of the seven. That's just in addition to one of the brachos already. And the next six are going to basically be the closings of the additional six passages. Ala shnia hu omer, on the second one, he says, Misha ana esavosino al yamsuf, hu yaneh eschem yishma kol tzakaschem hayom azeh baruch atah Hashem zocher hanashkechos. Right, he who heard our forefathers at the yamsuf, he should answer you, and he should hear your cries on this day. Blessed are you, Hashem, who remembers the forgotten. Ala shlishes hu omer, on the third, he says, Misha ana si Yoshua ba Gilgal, he who heard Yoshua at Gilgal. Gilgal was a place, and this refers to the incident with Yoshua when they conquered Yericho. So he who heard Yoshua at Gilgal, hu yaneh eschem yishma kol tzakaschem hayom azeh, he should answer you, and he should hear your cries in this day. Baruch atah Hashem shomei trua. Blessed are you, Hashem, who hears the sound of the shofar, the trua. Al haraviyas hu omer, on the fourth one, he says, Misha ana es Shmuel b'mitzpah, he who answers Shmuel at mitzpah, hu yaneh eschem b'yishma b'kol tzakaschem hayom azeh, he should answer you and hear you your cries on this day. Baruch atah Hashem shomei tzaka. Blessed are you, Hashem, who hears the cries, or hears the crying out. Al chamishas hu omer, on the fifth one, he says, Misha ana es Eliyahu b'har ha-Karmel, he who answered Eliyahu at Mount Carmel, hu yaneh eschem b'yishma v'kol tzakaschem hayom azeh baruch atah Hashem shomei tefilah. So the guy who answered Eliyahu at Har Carmel, he should answer you, and he should hear your cries out on that. Your crying out on this day. Blessed are you, Hashem, who hears prayer. Ala shishes hu omer, misha anas Yona mimei hadaga, hu yaneh eschem b'yishma v'kol tzakaschem hayom azeh baruch atah Hashem ha'une b'is tzara. So for the sixth one, he says, he who answered Yona, right? In the mouth of the fish, of the whale, he should answer you as well, and he should hear your crying out on this day. Blessed are you, Hashem, who answers in the time of need or great pain. Shvius, and the seventh one, who Omer, he says, Misha ana as David of Shlomo ben Obi Yerushalayim, he who answered David and Shlomo his son in Yerushalayim, hu yaneh eschem b'yishma v'kol tzakaschem hayom azeh, he should answer you, and he should hear your crying out on this day. Baruch atah Hashem, Hamarachim al Eretz. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has mercy on the land. Okay, so those are all the blessings. But continues the Mishnah now. We're on the last word of Tesvav Amad Aleph. Maaseh, now in the Tesvav Amad Beis. Turn the page. Bimei Rabbi Chalafta Rabbi Chananiah ben Trajon. There was a following story that happened in the days of Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chananiah ben Trajon. Sha'avar Echad Lefnei Ateva. One guy goes up to Davin. The Gamar as a bracha kula, below anu achravami, he gets up and he finishes the bracha, and what do you know, the whole tzibur, the whole congregation, they don't answer amen to him. What do they answer instead? Well, the Gemara doesn't say it, or rather the Mishnah doesn't say it, but the understanding is that they answer, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusuli Lamved. Where did they used to answer Baruch Shem Kavod Machusuli Lamved? In the Beis HaMikdash. Were they in the Beis HaMikdash? No. So you'll see that's how the story turns out. That's what was not good about this. So they answered after the bracha, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusuli Lamved. Tiku Hakohanim V'Tiku. So then the Chazan or whatever the Gabbai screams out, blow the shofar, Kohanim, blow the shofar. And then Misha Ana Es Avram Avinu Bahara Moriah Hu Yaneh Eschem B'Yishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Azeh. Then he says the blessing of that we just read, that he who answered Avram Avinu at Mount Moriah, he should answer you, and he should hear your cries on this day. Hariu B'nei Aaron V'Hariu. So after they said that, then the guy would say again, blow the shofar, B'nei Aaron, right, sound the trua, the sons of Aaron, sound the shofar. And then Misha Ana Es Avosino Al Yamsuf Hu Yaneh Eschem B'Yishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Azeh, right? He who answered our forefathers of the Yamsuf, he should answer you, and he should hear your cries on this day. Okay, and then the text is not written there, but the Bach adds the text, which makes a lot of sense. V'chein b'chol bracha u'bracha, and the same thing happened for every single blessing. Meaning, so he said the blessing, and some guy announced to blow the shofar. They blew the shofar. They said the blessing. They answered Baruch Shem Kavod Machusuli Lamved at the end of every blessing. No amens. They just said Baruch Shem, and then they would blow. So the guy would say, blow the shofar, they blew the shofar, and then et cetera, et cetera. That kept happening over and over again. So Uchashabad Davar Itza Chachamim Amrulo Hayinu Nohagin Kein Ela Bishar Mizrach Ubahar Abayas. So the Chachamim, when they heard this, they said exactly what we said at the beginning, that we have the custom of saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusoli Lam Ve'ed after every bracha, unless you are at the east gate on Har Abayas, meaning you would enter to Davin on the Temple Mount. You'd go into through the east gate. So you go into the east gate, you get to Har Abayas to Davin. So that's when you say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusoli. When you answer a bracha, otherwise you say amen. So the Chachamim did not like this, that this was happening. Okay, now the rest of the Mishnah is going to go through a series of fascinating things that are sort of tangentially related, and really just like the, it feels like trying to just fill in all the details that we've been meaning to say so far. Okay, so let's see what that has to say. Shalosh Tanios Harishonos, Anshe Mishmart Misanin Velo Mashlimin Anshe Beis Av Elo Hayu Misanin Klal. One additional detail that we have to make clear, we have spoken about this a great deal when we learn actually Seches Tainus and 5-Minute Mishnayos and the other Mishnayos that I came up in, but just a little bit of background that we have to know to understand the next few lines. Or really, basically, to the end of the Mishnah. And that is that there used to be something called Mishmaros. There were 24 Mishmaros. A Mishmar was, you know, there were lots of Kohanim, thank God, many Kohanim that were able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So how did they choose which Kohanim would serve in the Beis HaMikdash? Well, what they did was they divided all of the Kohanim into 24 groups. And every single group of Kohanim was called a Mishmar. And they basically it went in like a cyclical cycle. So one of the 24 groups would go 1 week, and then the second the next week, and then after the 24 groups went over 24 weeks, then week 25, group one would go again, and so on and so forth. With the group of Mishmaros, they get to know two other things. So there were also people called Anshe Beis Av. So Anshe Mishmar are the people who are the Kohanim that are on the Mishmar. It's their week to serve. Anshe Beis Av are the people who have been chosen that day to serve. So in other words, within each Mishmar, you can imagine there were lots of Kohanim. So not every single Kohen was there every single day. So every single Kohen who was their Mishmar that week, well, they were told that you're serving on Thursday or you're serving on Monday or whatever it is. So that's the Anshe Beis Av, and then there's the Anshe Ma'amad. The Anshe Ma'amad is actually one of the most fascinating things, and it makes a lot of sense when you actually understand it, is that there was a group of non-Kohanim, Yisraelim, who were chosen as like the representatives of all of Klal Yisrael for each that were associated and connected with each of the groups of the Mishmaros. The reason why is as follows, because we know that anytime a Kohen, every time we bring a korban for someone, so that person has to be there to say that this korban is being brought for me. And so what happens when every single day the Kohanim bring the tamida, the tamid offerings, they bring it twice a day, so right, that's the daily offering. And who is the daily offering, who is the tamid offering for? It's not for the Kohen. Well, it's partially for the Kohen because he's one representative of all Klal Yisrael. It's really for all of Klal Yisrael. So who from Klal Yisrael is there to say that this is my korban? Is all of Klal Yisrael standing there every single day of the year? Of course not. That's why Chazal say that we have to have this group of Yisraelim, a group of Jews, of Israelite representatives, who has basically come associated with each group of Kohanim, and they will be the representatives of the rest of the Jewish nation when each of the Karbanos are brought every single day. So with that, let's go back inside to the Mishnah. Okay, so Shalosh Taniyos Harishonos Anshe Mishmar Misanin V'lo Mashlimin V'Anshe Beis Av V'lo Hayu Misanin Klal. So the question is, what happens to all these fasts that you've been speaking about? Again, there's one set of three, a second set of three, and then the last set of seven. So do the Kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash, are they required to fast? You understand why there is such a question, because truth be told, it's nice to fast, but this is not an obligatory fast per se. And if it would affect the service in the Beis HaMikdash, which are mitzvos d'oraisa, you would say, just forget about the fast. Okay, so again, so Shalosh Taniyos Harishonos, the first series of three fasts, Anshe Mishmar Misanin, the people of the Mishmar, meaning it's not the Kohanim, it's not their service day that day, but it is their week to serve, so they do fast, V'lo Mashlimin, but they don't complete their fast. The Anshe Beis Av, but if it's not only your week, but it's also your day to serve, Lo Hayu Misanin Klal, they would not fast at all. That's for the first three. Shalosh Shnios, Anshe Mishmar Misanin Umashlimin, V'Anshe Beis Av Misanin V'lo Mashlimin, and the second set of three, if it's your week to serve, but not your day to serve, you fast and you complete your fast. If it's your day to serve, then you fast, but you don't complete your fast. Sheva achronos elu ve'elu mis'aninu mashlimin devei Rabbi Yeshua. And when it came to the seven last fasts, so then each of them would fast and they would complete their fast, right? Whether it was your week or it was your day to serve, so you would fast and you would complete your fast. Devei Rabbi Yeshua, that's what Rabbi Yeshua has to say. The chachamim say no, we disagree. Shalosh taniyos harishonos elu Ve'ilu lohayumis an klal. When it came to the first three fasts, they were so not as important when compared to the fact that these people were serving in the base of Mikdash, that for the first three, neither the Anshe Mishmar nor the Anshe Beis Av, whether it was your week or your day to serve, none of them would fast at all. Shalosh Shnios, Anshe Mishmar Mis'an V'lo Mashlimin, the Anshe Beis Av lo hayu Mis'an Klal. When it came to the second three, well, if it was your week to serve but not your day to serve, then you would fast, but you would not complete the fast. And if you were it was your day to serve, then you would not fast at all. And then finally, Sheva Achronos, Anshe Mishmar Mis'an V'Mashlimin, V'Anshe Beis Av Mis'an V'lo Mashlimin. If it was the last seven, which are the most stringent and the most you're most afraid at this point, you want God to hear you so that it will start raining. So the people, if it was your week to serve, then you fast and you complete your fast. But if it's your day to serve, then you fast and you don't complete your fast. Okay, Anshe Mishmar. Now we're going to give a few more halachos as they pertain to the Anshe Mishmar. Anshe Mishmar mutarin lishtos yayin balelos aval lo bayamim. When it comes to the people who it's the kohanim who it's who they are serving that week, so they're allowed to drink wine at night, but they can't drink wine during the day. The reason why is very simple. Because when it comes to the daytime, even though every group of the Kohanim has a specific day in which they're expected to serve, so that's all well and good, but sometimes they have to ask the help of other Kohanim, and they don't always know who they're going to ask. So because of that, no one who, if it's, as long as it's your week to serve, even if it's not your day to serve, no one could drink during the day, because you might get called upon. And if you get called upon, right, we just read it in the Parsha, that a Kohen can't be intoxicated while they serve in the base of Mikdash. And so that's exactly what this is saying over here. If there's a chance that the Kohen might come to serve, even if it's not his actual day, since he might be chosen, therefore he can't drink during the day. However, at night, he still could drink. This is referring to the night after the day. And in other words, he's able to drink at night if he's not on for that night, because of the fact that by the nighttime, all the karbonos really are done, and they're just really burning stuff at that point. And they, even if they did have more stuff to really take care of, they know what their list of obligations is, and they know exactly who they need to have do things. So if they didn't choose you yet, then they're not going to choose you, so therefore you're not going to be appointed at all. So again, if you if it's your week to serve but not your day to serve, then you are not allowed to drink during the day, but you can drink at night. But if it's your day to serve, you can't drink at the day and you can't drink at the night, because you still have service to do at night. And this is again referring to the night following the day, not the night prior to the day. Anshe Mishmar Ma'amad Asurin Milisaper Milchabis, if it's your week to serve, or if you're one of the Israelim, one of the Israelites that comes along, so it's their week to serve also, again, just to be there, but not actually to do anything in service. And also, just a point of clarification, the Israelites, the Anshe Ma'amad, there was a group that would go to the Beis Hamikdash, but there was also a group that would just stay in their hometown and just do their own thing there. So wherever you were, it was your week to serve or as a Kohen, or if it was your week to serve as a Yisrael, Asurin Milasaper Milachabe, so you can't cut your hair and you can't laundry your clothes. Ubachamishi Mutarn Mibnei Kibbutz Shabbos, but on Thursday you are allowed to take a haircut and you are allowed to wash your clothes because of Kibbutz Shabbos. Now, all of the days that are written about in Megillas Tainus has a list. Lots of different holidays, like minor holidays that were established because of things that happened. So, Kol HaKasav in Megillas Tainus Delo LeMispar, any day that it's written about in Megillas Tainus that we don't eulogize on that day. So lefanav asur leacharav mutar. The day before, it's prohibited to offer a eulogy, but the day after is permitted to offer a eulogy. Rabbi Yossi amar lefanav leacharav asur. However, Rabbi Yossi says no. The day before and the day after is prohibited to offer a eulogy. Okay. Zelo lehis anaa lefanav leacharav mutar. So any day that it's written about in Megillas Tainus not to fast, so the day before, the day before and the day after is permissible to fast if you want, even though you can't fast on that specific day. The day before and the day after you can fast. Rabbi Yossi Omer lefanav asur leacharav mutar. Rabbi Yossi says the day before you cannot fast, but the day after you could fast. Aim gozrin tanes al hatzibor betchila bechamishi. Now this is an important rule. I believe the Gemara actually gave this case explicitly, but now this is the actual text of the Mishnah. So aim gozrin tanes al Tzibar B'Tchila B'Chamishi. We don't decree a fast to start on a Thursday. Shalo L'Havkiyah HaSharim, because we're concerned that it's going to disrupt the market. It's going to disrupt the prices in the market, because what's going to happen? All the people who are selling food, they're going to see everyone going out on Thursday and buying enough food for two meals. They're going to be buying their Thursday night breakfast and their Friday, their Shabbos meals. And they're not going to realize that there was a fast going on, because the fast was just decreed for this Thursday, so no one got word of that. And so they're going to think that, why is everyone buying all the food? Not for a breakfast, but because they assume that a famine is coming. And if they assume that a famine is coming, then all the prices are going to go up. You know, price gouging, we're familiar with that. That's exactly what happened in this day and age. You know, you need your Purell, you need your Clorox, so now we're going to raise the prices to $1 trillion for 2 ounce Purell. Right? So that's the same thing. There was concern that if they saw people buying a lot of food, and it must be that the famine was coming, they would raise the prices. So therefore, they had a rule that we never start a communal fast on a Thursday, right? We said they are always Monday Thursdays, so we just started always on a Monday, because we're concerned of the market prices getting messed up. Ela shalosh taniyos harishonos sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. So the first series of three start on a Monday, and then they're a Thursday, and then they're a Monday again. V'shalosh shniyos, but then already by the second set of three, when people already know what's going on, then you can do chamishi sheni v'chamishi. You could do Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Rabbi Yossi omer kishim shein harishonos b'chamishi kach lo shniyos v'lo achronos. So Rabbi Yossi was a little concerned. He said that just, you know, we really should never do it. That just like you don't do the first three as a Thursday, Monday, Thursday, so too, you shouldn't do the second set and the third set. You shouldn't do the second three and the last seven. You should also start those on Mondays as well, and never start anything on a Thursday. Okay. Ein gozrin tanes ala sibar barashe chadashim the Chanukah uva Purim. One should not decree, or we don't decree a tanes on the congregation on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah or Purim. Ve'im hischilu ein mafsikin zevir Rabban Gamliel. But if we did accidentally or whatever, we started a series of fasts, and we, you know, what do you know? It happens to be that one of these days Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh ended up falling in that series. So we had a series of seven fasts, let's say, and it happens to be, oh my gosh, we didn't realize it, but Chanukah, Purim, or Rosh Chodesh lands on one of those seven Mondays or Thursdays. So if I decreed this public fast, the series of public fasts, on any of these days, so I shouldn't do that, but if I do, and I began the series already, I'm up to the third of the seven, let's say, then I don't stop them. I just fast anyways, even though it's one of these days. That's what Rabban Gamliel says. Amar Rabbi Meir, Afal Pisha Amar Rabban Gamliel Ein Mafsikin Mode Hayash Ein Mashlimin. Even though Rabbi Meir says, even though Rabban Gamliel said that we don't stop, that we do fast on that day, nonetheless, he's Mode, he agrees that we don't finish the fast. In other words, like right before Shkia, right before sunset on the fast, we take a bite to eat. We don't finish the fast. V'chein Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Erev Shabbos. And the same is true also whenever we have Tisha B'Av that falls on Erev Shabbos. If you have a Tisha B'Av that the 9th of Av is on Friday, so what do? You fast the entire day, but then you're not Moslem. You right before Shkia, right before Shabbos, you take a little bite, because the person shouldn't go into Shabbos having fasted entirely. So if Tisha B'Av lands on Erev Shabbos, you take a shtickle bite to eat right before Shkia to make sure you don't go into Shabbos fully, fully hungry. So that brings us to the end of the Mishnah, and I think with that, we're a little over time. Yeah, we're a little over time, so we'll stop right here, and God willing, next time we'll pick up from the Gemara on Tesvav Amar Beis. Everyone should have a great night. We'll see you next week.